At the Cattle Industry Summer Conference, I'm visiting with Stuart Phillips. And Stuart, first of all, tell me where you're from and what you do.
Hi, I'm Stuart Phillips. I'm a professor in the Department of Kinesiology and Medicine at McMaster University. That's in Hamilton, Ontario, up in Canada.
Well, you just got out of one of the committee meetings here at this conference dealing with nutrition, human nutrition, with some Chekhov-funded research you've done. Give us just a little bit of an overview of what are a couple of the key messages that came out of the research you did.
Sure. Well, one thing that we know is that as everybody ages, we've got a large portion of the population in both Canada and the United States that is approaching the age of retirement, the boomers, so to speak, and they actually lose a little bit of muscle mass as they age. And one of the things that is a predisposing factor for is disability and then ultimately not being able to do activities of daily living. So we were interested to see whether either beef or soy was a better source of protein and able to increase the synthesis of new muscle proteins, so essentially renew the proteins that we had. And one of the key findings we saw was that when you compare beef, 4 ounces of beef, to an exact same amount of soy protein, is that beef was actually more effective than soy at promoting new muscle protein synthesis in men that were probably between age 57 to about 65.
Do you think that is something that would surprise a lot of people?
Well, I think it would surprise a lot of people from a number of standpoints, not the least of which is that the recommendations that a lot of people will give now is that plant-based protein should be the source of protein we should focus more on as we get a little bit older, when in fact we think because of the nutrient density of something like beef, for example, looking at the iron content, zinc, vitamin B12, whole host of other nutrients, and the fact now that we've shown that it's a more effective source of protein at promoting muscle mass accretion or gain, is that that recommendation would sort of fly in the face of a lot of things that you're hearing these days.
Where do we go from here with this information? Where will we see it? How will people know about it? And what channels or avenues can we get that into?
Yeah, it's been a long time that it's taken to sort of get this research together and to get the message out that the health of your muscle as you age is an important outcome that most people should begin to care about. And I think where it's going to go from here has to be extended into some longer trials and to really show really for the first time that if you're able to incorporate beef into your diet, that it's actually not going to change your blood lipid composition, for example, with the cholesterol being the main outcome, but it's actually going to help your muscle health as you get older as well. So clearly the future path for this is to just take it into some larger diet feeding trials in healthy humans and to show that it's doing some good and not doing the bad that everybody else thinks it does.
Well, and we always bring up heart health. The heart is a muscle too, right?
Yeah, the heart's a muscle as well, but it's a muscle that's constantly in motion, and that's maybe what makes it unique as opposed to your skeletal muscle and maybe gives it a bit of protection out there. Another finding that we also found was that the amount of beef that's able to stimulate this new muscle protein growth is about 6 ounces of beef and not the 3 ounces that is recommended on either the MyPlate or Canada's Food Guide, for example. So it's a larger serve of beef, and it really comes down, I think, to the efficiency at which our bodies process protein.
Well, fascinating research, and just an example of one of the types of research projects that receive funding from the Beef Chekhov. Thank you, Stuart Phillips. We've been visiting here at the Cattle Industry Summer Conference. I'm Chuck Zimmerman.